Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. The discovery of the Cleveland women, Amanda Berry, Michelle Knight, and Gina DeJesus, after a decade in captivity, has made parents think about their own kids. We know that about 115 children a year are kidnapped by people with no ties to the family, and most of them, sadly, never make it home. But 58,000 children are abducted every year by non-family members who know the child, and most of them are found. We're long past the phrase stranger danger. People have realized that, first of all, children don't think of someone, say, dressed as a police officer as a stranger. But what do we do with the knowledge that the father of a childhood friend could be an abductor? That's what police suspect in the Cleveland case. Nancy McBride is safety director at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. She joins us. And Nancy, what's the main message you want to send to parents?
I think the main message, Robin, is don't think that just because your kids are older that they are armed with all the information and judgment and experience they need to make sound safety decisions, because sometimes that isn't true.
In a case like Cleveland, you had allegedly the kidnapper was the father of a friend of one of the young women taken. Another young woman was 20 years old. What does this tell you? I mean, one thing I'm hearing is it's never too late to tell kids about getting into cars, but how do parents avoid this?
Well, I think what you tell your children is you don't get in a car without talking about it with me first and making sure that we have an agreement about whose cars you can get into.
Yeah, but tell us more about how parents can instruct their children about what's possible.
Well, first and foremost, don't use fear as a motivator. Kids live in the real world, so they know it's a scary place. So what you want to do is have a conversation with your child in a pretty benign type of a setting. Let's say you're having dinner and you decide you want to talk about safety, and also be prepared to answer your child's questions as openly as you can. And then make sure you've got a set of rules you want to impart to your child, and then after that, practice them.
That's key, because as we've seen in those chilling videos that came out a while back on some of the magazine shows, a parent can tell their child everything, and then a parent is put in a room with a two-way mirror and watches as their child goes and does exactly what they told them not to do.
Right, and I think that brings in the whole, it's so much easier to believe in the scary weirdo hiding behind a tree than to know that a lot of these predators are very nice-looking people, they're very patient. So we've got to teach our kids, don't fall for the tricks. That's very important.
So what would you suggest after you have the conversation with the child about, you know, we don't want you taking candy from people or getting into cars to go look for a puppy? I promise you, if there's a puppy that's lost, the parent will know about it first, things like that. Do you then go out and practice? Do you try to trick your child by having friends do run-throughs with you? I mean, how do you do this?
I don't really believe in tricking kids. I think the best way to do the practicing is to do the what-if scenarios with your children. Set up the what-if somebody came up to you and said that they had a puppy who was lost, would you help them? And go a little farther. I actually had a mom tell me that her little boy said no to the puppy, but when she asked the question, what if he had a missing kitten, the little boy said yes, because kittens need more help than puppies. So you've really, really got to think like a child in those situations, and remember that kids are pretty literal thinkers.
What about, I mean, some parents are thinking maybe if we had code words that only the adults that I want to give a ride to my child will know. What about that?
I'm not a real fan of gimmicks because I don't think we need them. I think the message to our kids is, if anyone makes you feel sad, scared, or confused, you get out of that situation as quickly as possible and tell a trusted adult. I think the problem with code words is some kids just can't keep secrets. So they've got the word in their head and they can't wait to go out and tell everybody what it is. And it also allows somebody who's pretty savvy to start trying to engage in a conversation by guessing the code words. The predators know about code words.
And back to this idea of somebody just picking up a child and offering them a ride seemed so innocent. And we understand that when you researched missing children, 72% involved the suspect driving a vehicle. Does it still pay to tell kids you don't have to get near the car? What are things to tell kids about cars in particular?
Absolutely. That is the key number one message. If anybody tries to get a child in a car, the only job that child has is to get away as quickly as possible and tell a trusted adult. We're going to have to get rid of this whole polite thing because we've taught kids to be polite to adults, but in this situation, you're not only not polite, you're not even having the conversation. So never, ever get in the car. Because once you're in the car, everything changes.
So it could be the father of a friend. Don't get in.
Yeah. No. I mean, why is he going by offering a ride anyway? I mean, seriously. It's like adults asking kids for directions. If you really want to go somewhere, do you ask a kid? So if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for somebody to be doing this, then, you know, why get in the car with them?
Well, this is so difficult. But if a child has and an older child who might be old enough to realize I've made a mistake, what then?
Well, what we're teaching kids, obviously, at the National Center is recognition and avoidance. If you can't avoid it, then you do everything in your power to get out of it, meaning you fight, you kick, you yell, you scream, you make as much of a ruckus, get as much attention as you possibly can. And in 83% of the 8,000 cases we looked at, that's exactly what the kids did, and that's exactly how they got away.
What do you think the Cleveland story reflects? How many children do you think it might be possible are locked up in a house somewhere? We just had a story here in Massachusetts where a sex ring was broken open. These were, again, women who had been lured into homes. It's a horrible thought, but it would also be the good news for parents. Do you think it's possible there are more cases like this?
We absolutely positively do. I mean, we're starting to come up with a list now. You've got Elizabeth Smart on that list. You've got J.C. Dugart. You've got Sean Hornsby. There are kids who have been captive for years who come home alive. So it isn't always that tragic, horrible ending.
Well, I guess that's even more important to tell kids, no matter what anyone tells you, we love you, and scream your head off and get out.
Right. And should they be in that situation, they also need to know that we love you and we'll never stop looking.
Nancy McBride, Safety Director of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Robin.
Well, that's quite something. What do you think? Too much to tell your teen not to get in a car with an adult they know? Or are you resigned to that? Let us know your thoughts at hereandnow.org. Latest news is next, Here and Now.